My name is Tinsley. I'm an alcoholic. Our hope is that many alcoholic men and women in this room tonight and listening later on NavaClub.org desperately in need will hear our speaker tonight, and we believe that it is only by fully disclosing ourselves and our problems that any of us shall be persuaded to say, yes, I am one of them too. I must have this thing. I'm really excited to introduce our speaker tonight. This is somebody that I've been to a lot of AA meetings with in the little room at the 130. And she's a great AA and a great friend of mine. With that, I give you Trudy.
Thank you, Tinsley. And hi, everybody. I'm Trudy. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi.
God, I see so many friends out there. If I'd had this many in the bars, I wouldn't have drank at home. I would have stayed in the bars, I think. Goodness. My story's just about like... I did say I'm an alcoholic, didn't I? Yeah, of course. I started drinking when I was, I guess, 4 or 5. Like everybody else, I guess. Maybe that was a little bit young. But, you see, I'm Jewish. And my parents had the annual Passover Seder, drinking of the wine. Every holiday was a reason to drink. Well, we really didn't need a holiday as a reason to drink. Going out to eat was a reason to drink. Eating was a reason to drink. But anyway, let me get back to the Passover Seder. My parents thought it was cute. I was the baby daughter. Only two girls. And yes, I had the younger child syndrome too. Yeah. So, another problem. But anyway, it was cute to get Trudy drunk. And I can remember, I absolutely can remember going around in circles and saying, and laughing, saying, oh my God, I'm drunk again. And everybody's laughing. How cute. This little pipsqueak is performing. She's drunk again. Oh, they loved it. They loved it. Now, my parents meant well. They always said, Trudy, you're allowed to drink at home because the reason there are so few Jewish alcoholics is because we allow you to drink at home. You don't have to go sneak it. Now, no matter, my mother's father, it turned out, was an alcoholic, but she didn't know it. Her brother, Larry Klinger, is an alcoholic. But he doesn't think my parents were. He said if they were, they were functioning alcoholics. So, of course, I was a functioning alcoholic, too. But it's a good thing I was self-employed. That may have helped. But, anyway, so, I mean, I had a... boy, I probably had more of a drinking career in my childhood than some of you did in your teens. I mean, I'm serious. When my parents had cocktail parties, I was on their friends' laps They would have a cocktail party before dance, and I was drinking their, finishing their friends' drinks. And, but my parents thought they were doing the right thing. They didn't know how much I was, they weren't paying attention to me. And one time my sister called my parents at the dance, and they said, she said, "Mom, Daddy, you got to come home. Trudy said the bed's spinning, but it's not. It's not." So, and when we went out to eat, Chattanooga, where I was raised, that was dry at the time. And my parents had to brown bag it. Everybody had to brown bag it. And so, of course, I was able to participate. I mean, I'm not talking about when I was a little kid. I'm talking about when I was in my teens. And when my parents had company over. They only got me drunk, you know, at Seder time, maybe. I mean, it wasn't that bad, really. I'm just giving an example. It wasn't habitual. But in my teens, they did allow me to drink. That's when they said that, you know, I wouldn't become an alcoholic if I mean, they knew how teenagers were. They said, "Drink at home. Don't sneak it." So, yeah. Somebody looks awfully worried over there. Well, not mad. They were fine. They were caring. And they did the best they could. I used to spend a lot of summers in Atlanta visiting my aunt and uncle. And I'll never forget, I was in my teens, I went to Charm. My parents sent me to my mother. She was a New Yorker. She wanted me to get some charm. So she sent me to charm school in Atlanta. And I stayed with Larry and his wife, Myrna. And I can't remember how old I was, somewhere in my teens. And Larry asked me if I want some wild turkey. And I'm looking for food. And then I found out what wild turkey was. He used to let me smoke his cigarettes, and he was my cruel uncle. And when he did come into the program, I was living in Germany. My husband at the time was in the service, and when I came back, you know, he was sober, and he talking about, he just wasn't the same. He was this sober guy, and I thought AA must have been a cult, had to have been a cult for him to change, though. But found out later on. But anyway, let's see. Now we're growing up in Chattanooga wasn't too much fun, so never could get rid of the bottle. At 17, I went off to Suntan U, otherwise known as the University of Miami. My first day there, and I wanted to get as far away from Chattanooga as I could. It was, I knew I was destined for bigger things, like becoming an alcoholic. And I, boy, did I get a PhD in that. The first day, I meet this girl, Arlene. She's in my dorm. And she says, she's so sophisticated. I was 17, didn't turn 18 until my second semester. And she says, she was from the beach, Miami Beach. And she lived in a high-rise condo. I didn't even know what a condo was. She had to tell me what it was. And she said, but she was living in the dorm. And she asked me if I wanted to come to her room and have some pinch. I said, I guess so. What's that? You don't know what that is? And she explained to me, you know, that the bottle is, you know, it's expensive, whatever it is, some kind of liquor. And I said, sure. And I was off and running. Boy, you know, I mean, it's like people who like certain things like alcohol attract. I was like thinking, this is really cool. I'm going to like college. And then, of course, I find out the coolest place on the beach. The university wasn't on Miami Beach, but the real cool place to go was the Barn. I'm not going to say when this was. I don't want to. Long time ago. And when there were dress codes and co-ed women dorms, male dorms, whatever. If you're at the Barn all night long, at 6 o'clock, they served you a free buffet breakfast. And I had a lot of breakfasts there. And imagine me being there all night and then having the sun hit you in the face, walking out. My, that was rude, very rude of the sun for appearing like that. Without warning. But, you know, I still didn't have any consequences. No consequences that I could see. Even when I went to register the second semester of my fourth year there, and they said, no, you can't do it. You can't register. You're still classified as a second semester sophomore, I think. I had incomplete classes, I had Fs, I played around too much. So I stayed for the rest of the year in my apartment. That was the first year I had an apartment, by the way. Got a job, because I had a boyfriend there. Went back home and with my monkey. I had a monkey. They gave me a monkey because I'd wanted one, so that was my birthday present. And bring it to Atlanta. My aunt and uncle loved that. And they finally said, Trudy, I drove back to Atlanta, you know, and stopped in Atlanta. They said, Trudy, you are that monkey that's got to go, has got to go. And so I left the zoo in Chattanooga, ended up getting the monkey. And I got a job in Atlanta. I had some friends here. I got an apartment with. And then Oklethorpe, then college, now university, took me in. They were increasing their enrollment, so they accepted me, and they were increasing it by 250. And the end of the semester, they were decreasing it by 250, but I wasn't at the bottom 250, so I got to stay. I'd learned my lesson. I mean, it wasn't easy having to work for a year, you know, and so I like being in, school. And my roommate and I, we used to make daiquiris in the dorm. But not very often, but I didn't party like I did in Miami. No way. No way. I mean, I really calmed down. Of course, a job I had when I was before Oglethorpe took me in, I did not realize I was working for the Porn King of Atlanta. Mike Thieves. I was so proud when my parents came in. I showed them around. I was a proofreader, and he was a publisher. And I didn't know. I didn't have anything to do with the porn. But oh my. It's good. I'm glad I went back to school. And I graduated, got married, and blah, 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 blah. No consequences, no consequences till later on. It does get worse. I tell you, I started really having fun after my divorce. I married my husband right after we graduated Oglethorpe. And then I got tired of, we're good friends. We're friends now. He's on his third wife. That was wife number one. But he got it right now. And we have two lovely children. But when the marriage was bad, it was really bad. Really bad. And let's see. So in Cleveland, Ohio, that's where I was living. That's where I really partied after my divorce, and we'd get sitters and go to the inner circle. That was my cheers. I mean, dancing, one side was a nice, very nice restaurant. The other side was a lounge with dancing, and I mean, the same people, it was my cheers and live music, and I knew the bartenders, and I would get free drinks, and y'all know, especially the ladies, you know, you walk in, you don't have to buy a drink, and it was nice. And what scares me, though, I do remember sometimes a couple of times driving home with one eye open, and that was scary. I mean, that now, it really scares me. Then I'm thinking, okay, Trudy, you'll be okay, you'll be okay. And gosh, I don't remember. I hope I didn't have to drive the babysitter home. God. Maybe she walked. Maybe she lived so close that she walked. Or the kids were with their dad. I'm not going to worry about that now. Okay. I got enough on my mind now. I got enough on my plate. Jeez. But, I did one thing I would never. I always was. I'm going to save time for. Okay. I don't know how. I always loved, I was actually mystified with mafia. I don't know. I was always very interested in the mafia. And a friend of mine introduced me to of her boyfriend's friend, and he was younger, and it turns out he was in the mob. His father was definitely in the mafia. His father was killed by Danny Green, and I see Danny Green on this Mobsters. It's on the Bio channel. They show that, and his, yeah, and so, but I took up with him. He was younger, but it was okay because I felt like I needed a protector because I wasn't getting child support from my husband and my ex-husband, I should say. And anyway, it was fun. And but I mean, I did some things I'm not proud of when I was with him, and I would never do it again. But I got it out of my system. And but one time came home, he said, You like colorful characters, don't you? I said, well, yeah, you know I do. He said, okay, come on, you're gonna meet one. Well, this guy was a colorful character. He had tattoos from his, now I didn't see him with no pants on, but he had tattoos. He didn't have a shirt on. He had tattoos from his waist up and his arms, hands. He pulled his lower lip down. He had tattoos. I mean, he had a lovely wife, and his mother-in-law lived right across the street on the other corner. He was a Hell's Angel. I mean, a Hell's Angel. And, yeah, these kinds of people I'll never know again. But, anyway, but when I was, a good part of the time I was in Cleveland, I taught for the, for Cleveland. And, I mean, when it was really getting bad, you know, I mean, my drinking, I mean, I'd wake up in the middle of the night, and I'd have to drink more to get me to go back to sleep. I guess this story is familiar. And then you wake up at 4 o'clock, but you're not due to get. I wasn't due to get up till 6. So, let me get a little bit more to put me back to sleep because I have a whole day of teaching ahead of me. And one of the security women said to me, this was in the lounge one day, one morning, I think it was, I was having coffee. She said, Fox, that was my last name then, she said, you have liquor on your breath. I said, oh, she said, you've been drinking? I said, not since last night. She said, well, you need to get some cough drops. Here, let me give you some cough drops. And I was just so embarrassed. But then what do I give her? I draw her name for the Secret Santa, and what I give her? Yep. I think 151 proof of rum. Yep. That's what I gave her. Can't say I didn't have a sense of humor. I think she needed it. I think she appreciated it. I can see her right now. Oh, we used to drink back then. We used to go to the librarian's office and during the holidays, and we would have spiked punch in this office. I mean, it was a crazy school. We had a good time. It must have been Cleveland, the weather. But anyway, move back to Atlanta and got into sales, met a fiancé here. Well, he wasn't my fiancé when I met him. I worked with him. I got into cemetery sales. I didn't sell cemeteries. I sold for a cemetery. I sold cemetery property and the stuff you need to go with it. And so we ended up working together and then going on the road together and selling for Mompa cemeteries. And we worked well together. And anyway, we got engaged and moved to Florida together. And bad move, bad move. Things kind of changed after the move. Well, no, there were red flags I ignored before the move. I was no prize to live with either, but he was an enabler. We'd go to drink, we'd go out, God, give her another drink. I don't want another drink, Dave. Give her another one. You know, rip. Come on, Rocky, make it strong. Strong. And, no, I didn't like that. And, I sort of crawled back. I kept the engagement ring, and he even had the wedding band made to go with it. I kept both. I earned them. Believe me, I earned them. I mean, but that's where I went over the edge. Still, I didn't feel... Still saw no consequences. Can you believe it? And you know, I wore glasses then. I still didn't see that I was paying any consequences. And I'm not dumb. I mean, I'm intelligent. At one time I was. Anyway, I stayed with my aunt and uncle, and I felt guilty staying with them. I think for about 6 weeks while I looked for a condo, and by the time I closed on it, it was about 6 weeks, but the vodka I bought wasn't kosher. And my uncle could have cared less, you know, but my aunt is, you know, she cares about kosher, keeping kosher. But I hid it. So I figured what she didn't know wouldn't hurt her. I didn't drink in front of them, but I felt bad that, I mean, I don't even know if they make kosher vodka. I never asked. It probably would have been too expensive anyway. No one's going to pay for that. But I don't know what it was. You know, I knew people in the program from Larry and Mona, and I would tell them, you know, I'm going to be in there one day. I'm an alcoholic. I'm going to be in there. I'm just not ready. I don't want to fail. But I'll be in there. Just give me time. And but one time, okay, I had, you know, was always have an annual physical, and it showed I had some liver damage. And I said, okay, that's it. Week and a half later, I was in AA. Those were consequences I didn't like. I didn't want. I thought I was trying to kill myself because I wasn't happy. But then when I saw, ooh, I'm killing myself. I'm going to kill myself if I keep this up. Those were consequences to keep me, said Trudy. Now's the time. So, gave myself a week and a half to finish up all the alcohol, the cheery herring I had in the house to decorate. It was just to go with my decor. I even drank that. I drank everything. And gone. That was pretty good. I can't believe I had it in my house for years and didn't drink it. But, okay, and I found my home group here, right next door. But the thing is, I was ready. I believe in being ready. When I took education courses, I was taught about reading readiness. And I thought to myself then, I said, well, if there's a readiness to be able to learn to read, there must be something of this readiness thing. So thank you, I needed that. I think that's the key. For me, it was readiness. And being ready made me willing. And I remember I was at the, it starts with a B, up the street, room, Biscayne. A woman told me to get, she had 6 years sober. And I had a few days, she told me to get the book Living Sober. I said, okay. I figured, I didn't know her, but she had a lot more time than I did, so I got it, and it's been helpful. Who are you? So, I need to call her one day. Haven't heard from her for about a year. And I don't know if there are any newcomers. I know there are a lot of old timers out there, and I know there are a lot of people out there who've been in here a while. But I don't know if there are any newcomers, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I mean, we can. My mother always said a wise man can learn from a fool. And so I guess I should have some coffee tonight. One thing I know, I'm not the sponsor type. I can be in somebody's network, but I don't sponsor, so I just try to help out in ways I can. Because I'm just not a good sponsor. We'll leave it at that. And, hey, I'm not the best at... The promises have come true for me in many ways. I tell you, I was looking for peace of mind for so many years when I was drinking. I was drinking because I didn't have peace of mind, and I stopped drinking, and I'm able to get it. I don't always have it. I have to work at it, work at it. It leaves me from here, and it, they're rough times. The past couple of years have been rough things, in the going through. But I'm feeling it's better than being numb and not in hiding. And it's I don't know. I mean, it's, hey, if you want perfection, go steer in an egg. Ain't nothing gonna be perfect, as far as I'm concerned. And but at least, you know, what I was looking for, it was there all along, like Dorothy and Wizard of Oz, flicking her red heels together. And I've become a grandparent to two grandchildren since I've been sober. I mean, I would have died. I would have died. AA saved my life. I got pancreatitis 2 months after I quit drinking. So, you know, if I hadn't been in AA, I would have died. I would have kept drinking to dull the pain. So, I should... I know. I mean, it's a miracle. To me, AA is a miracle. And yeah, it's a miracle. And I try to be so positive. I can't always be, but I work at it. And if I can't be positive, then I'm not going to be around people. But then when I'm around people, I get my positivity back. So it's kind of a push and pull thing. I don't know. It's kind of funny. But beginning of January will be 9 months since I quit smoking. And, I mean, that has been, I've been smoking as long as I've been drinking. So, you know what? When things get rough, when I'm stressed, I don't want to drink. I want a cigarette. And I haven't given in. And I have them in the house. Cold turkey. Cold turkey. No AIDS, like lozenges or anything, even though I have them. So, anyway, I have learned, and I have to keep reminding myself, to use my God box. I have to turn things over more than once, sometimes every day. And sometimes mentally just isn't enough for me. I have to write it out and put it in my God box. It's not very pretty. It's a, you know, box of tissues, you know, but not the rectangular ones, but the, it's empty, of course. And I just wrote God box on it. And I have a stack of notes, and but it serves a purpose. And God understands. He knows that it doesn't matter what it looks like. And fear is a prison for me. And if it's a rational fear, I turn it over and accept it if it can't be changed. And if it's irrational, because of my vivid imagination, I mean, over time, my imagination's overly, then my inner voice lets me know. It usually says, Trudy, you're being crazy. You're not a writer anymore. You're just you. Calm down. So I do listen to my inner voice now. I'm able to, not all the time, but I try to sit quietly. And when I was drinking, no way. And I have to be grateful every day, because if I'm not grateful, then I can't be positive, and I can't be me. And the principles behind the steps are important to me. They were important to Jeff Cohn, who helped get me into the program, who died sober in a car accident, and a dear friend, and they are to me. And my meeting. I love my home group, and I love to help people, and I just want to keep growing. And as far as I'm concerned, I'll keep growing until I take my last breath, hopefully. And I want to thank Tim for asking me to tell my story. And happy holidays. Thank you.
Thank you, Trudy. This is great. Appreciate it. Michael D. Well, hand out the chips.
Hello, everybody. My name's Mike. I'm an alcoholic here at NABA. Like most, almost all groups around town here, we have a CHIP system to denote your time in sobriety, like not necessarily the quality of your sobriety, but the amount of time you've been since you've had your last drink. You know, if you want to come up and try this just for one day, you don't even have to be sober to pick it up. All you have to do is have a desire to stop drinking. We have a white CHIP. Anybody want to pick up a white CHIP tonight? All righty. And for 30 days, we have a silver CHIP. It's got some neat little slogans on it, serenity prayer. Think before you drink, you know, all that good stuff. 30 days. And red CHIP for 90 days. All right. Anybody else for 90 days? 6 months. 6 months, all right. Anybody else for 6 months? Green CHIP for 9. 9 months tonight, anybody? And the coveted blue CHIP for 1 year or multiples thereof. Anybody got a birthday tonight that we weren't aware of? Alrighty, and we're going to offer this white CHIP twice, just in case you're shy. Anybody else want to pick one up? Anybody want to pick one up? I will leave it up here in case you feel more comfortable stealing it. So it's right up here. Thank you very much.
Congratulations on this CHIPS. Erwin gave out the CHIPS last week, so it was good to see her pick up 6 months. Okay, next week, NABA's Santa Claus, Kurt N., will be here to tell his story. And let's see, his home group is, there is a solution group of Decatur. But we see him all the time. He's still anonymous. His last name starts with M. First name, Kurt. Okay. If there are no further announcements, I remind you that anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And for those who will, please join hands in the Lord's Prayer. Michelle, welcome back. Would you take us in?
Deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory.